Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the podcast, the Box Set Pod. My name is Howell, and this is Jamie.
And
this is Matthew Wandless.
Winter has come.
Winter has come. It's freezing in Game of Thrones, and it's here. So we're going to talk about the first episode of the last season of Game of Thrones on this podcast. We will do that, and we'll see where we're up to with our predictions as well in that, which is fun. After we deal with a few other things, including lovely listeners who have got back in touch with us. First of all, Lee got some abuse because he'd abused Matthew and then we sided with him. This is because he compared him to Chris Sutton, which if you are a football fan in Britain, you might know that he's a pundit that people find a little bit grating, I think.
I was watching the Champions League last night and Chris Sutton came on and I was looking at his face and just thinking, I can't believe someone out there had the nerve to compare me to this man.
Amazing.
And was cruel enough to do that. Come on.
That story could have gone. I was watching Chris Sutton last night, and in a moment of great reflection, a tear fell down my face, and I realised that I was as annoying as Chris Sutton. But no, of course, Matthew just turned more hate towards Lee in that situation.
I don't hate him. I'm offended. I'm wounded.
He actually replied being apologetic, which I thought was way out of line. I mean, don't ever apologise for insulting Matthew Wandless. That just ruins the point. He says, I wasn't being harsh towards him. I find Sutton entertaining, and I'm a claret. Matt is quite, I don't know what that means, by the way. I think that's something to do with wine. Matt is quite argumentative, but you need that. It provides balance. It would be a drab listen if you all thought alike. And that's why he's so irritating. You're right. He does it on purpose. I didn't mean his opinions were poorly considered. If he thinks he is like Honningstein, then I'd agree with that. He can be quite confrontational, but he's always a good panellist. Watch the Formula One series, by the way. Definite thumbs up from me. Trying to persuade others to watch. Can't quite believe some of the storylines that actually happened in real life. Surprised that the people involved were happy to be portrayed like that. Well, maybe they weren't. They probably signed release forms before they started filming it. Thank you, Lee, again. And another email. This is a new listener.
Can I just mention something that I realised from last week when we were talking about Lee's email?
Yes, my love.
He was talking about Boo's ghost in Fleabag.
Oh, are we playing the part of Boo's ghost spirit?
I think. Yeah, and I realised what he meant by that. Mm. Boo is her friend that died. It didn't occur to me until I listened back to the podcast, and I was like, that's a really interesting idea.
That's absolutely right, because I thought if her name was Boo, I thought you've got it completely wrong there, because if anything, she'd be leaving. I was going to say she's leaving behind her guilt and is able to move on. And therefore, you're absolutely right. It's the guilt over the death of a friend. That's bang on.
I found that to be a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
An observation.
It's got to be that, hasn't it?
It's something I'd heard a lot about it online about that idea, that theory. And I think it does have some weight to it, doesn't it?
Well, what else could it be? It's got to be that, doesn't it?
I don't think you can say anything definitively, but
well, I don't think she's waving goodbye to us and saying that's the end of the series. I think she's moving on emotionally from something difficult, and it's got to be that.
This is the problem with you, Howell. You deal in absolutes.
Well, that is what it is. It just is.
It's art, Howell. It's open to interpretation.
So the next one from Roger.
I came across like a real douche there. I didn't mean that in serious. I was trying to be attentive.
Don't you start apologising, then we'll all be in trouble. Greetings from across the pond, says Roger. Listening to the latest pod, Game of Thrones Salivation Society, right now, and wanted to drop you this short note. Absolutely love the chemistry between you guys. Well, at least between a couple of you guys. My wife, Melissa, turned me onto your pod recently, and now I look forward to every episode. Shout out to Melissa, who's probably listening now also. Thanks for helping me make it through another dragging day. I replied saying, Roger, what a lovely email. I'm going to just take it read that you mean the Matt bashing bandwagon. There's no need to correct me if I'm wrong, because there's no way it would be Jamie that was annoying you. Thanks so much for emailing and listening. Tell us where you're from. He's from Kansas City. He said, grew up in Kansas, moved to Kansas City when they got married, and Melissa and he are bound to Yosemite next month to celebrate the 25th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. I love listening to you around the world on the cheap episodes a while back. Thank you, Roger, because these two certainly didn't. And I think I remember you stopped at Yosemite. Any words of advice? I said, yes. Avoid it when it's on fire, because we weren't allowed in because it was on fire. It was closed for the first time in decades. So there we go. And one final email, unless there's any feedback on that one.
I'm watching a documentary called The Dawn Wall at the moment, which is about climbing El Capitan.
Ah, excellent.
A particular part of El Capitan, which has never been climbed before. It's a fantastic documentary.
What's that on?
Netflix.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
I've watched that. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
The guy who does it loses his finger.
An absolute dingbat!
I mean, you find out early on in the film, but it's like the moment I found out, I was like,
"It's amazing!
What are you talking about?"
It's crazy.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a great story, though.
Finally, Rebecca emailed studio@theboxsetpod.com. Just listen to your entire commentary on The Red Wedding. I completely forgot we'd done this episode where Jamie and I watched The Red Wedding, told you to press play at the same time as us, and then commentated on it. Loved it, she says. Also, love Chuck and Dexter. Just found your podcast yesterday, so I'm skipping around episodes. You guys are so nice to listen to. I'm Canadian, so those accents are A+. Glad I found your pod. Well, Rebecca, that's what it's all about. Thank you. That was a Canadian dig there.
Oh, my God.
Rebecca, it's so nice to get your email. Thank you. And if you would like to email us, you can hear how happy it makes us. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Bring it on.
So we got three emails this week from
three
different people.
Three whole emails from different flipping listeners.
Holy shit, I'm going to have to stop taking the tube.
Yes. You might get mugged. Right, brilliant. Thank you. So, we'll get on to our predictions for Game of Thrones and give each other some scores on our predictions at some point. First, the OA, Jamie has now finished that. And does the next series satisfy in the same way or in a different way as the first one, Jamie?
I mean, I can't quite get my head around how I feel about the ending. I think I feel bad. I think I feel bad about it.
Do they do another interpretive?
I don't know if you
dance.
Guys are going to plough in. And I want you to, because I think it's still worth the journey. But where it gets to is completely ludicrous. Right. And to the point where they cross that line. And this is the problem with like high concept sort of storytelling ideas, is the beginning is so much fun and enjoyable. Yes. It's like The Matrix. We talked about The Matrix. The first Matrix film is brilliant because it's the beginning. Oh, you're finding out about The Matrix and you're finding out about a different world that they live in. And then when it gets into the actual minutiae and you go along with the story and you find out more about the world and the characters, it gets more and more ridiculous and it stops being like this wonderful journey and starts going a little bit haywire and you can't believe it or follow it as easily. And that's how the OA is going. And I still want to watch season three because I want to see how they manage to turn this ridiculous ending into something remotely satisfying. Not stupid. It's, so I'd like to see what you think of it.
It's like,
can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Is there another school shooting at the end of the second series?
There is not.
Is there another dance at the end of the series?
Another what?
Dance. Interpretive dance.
There's got to be another dance, surely.
Well, yeah, they still break the dance moves out at certain points, yeah.
But does it end on it?
It no. Well, it ends with... I don't know how. Don't
why
know,
would you ask that question?
All right, forget it.
What a jackass question to ask.
It's a yes or no.
What's the Jamie, what's the ending? How does the whole
thing
end?
I did not ask that. I asked, you know, should I bother watching if it's going to have the same payoff, which is, wow, we can do an interpretive dance and save the world.
No, I mean, the dancing's not even important anymore, right. As much as it's still part of it, but this is more about where we end up on this journey with Prairie, with the OA, with these characters. It's absolutely ludicrous.
The problem
I think it's worth... going just to see where they've gone with it, but anyway, just
I feel like
please go there.
The problem you described is a lot like my issue with Whodunit, that you can rarely get a satisfying thing, and when a series is trying to create different, when a series is trying to create different seasons, if that entire story relies on a mysterious question at the beginning, like what's going on. This is the version of Whodunit, isn't it? What's happening? It feels like, well, how far can they move us in a series before that becomes unsatisfying or before you want more answers? Let me ask you this. If you were to have a scale of like how far things moved in the first series, let's say things moved from 1 to 5 out of 10 in the first series, how much further do you feel it's gone in the second series? Does it travel very far, or has it just kind of gone to 7?
It's travelled to 1,000.
Oh, so it's just gone berserkoid.
It's destroyed the entire original scale.
I don't know how to. It's just been like the thing is, I love the imagination of the show, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that captured me in the first place. And I love that this feels like some couple of people in a room. Just coming up with ideas. Yeah. And then they've just got to that point where someone should have said, oh, that one's a bit stupid, that one. And then they should have been reined in a little bit, because where they've gone with it, it's just they've taken it too far. Like, I know what you mean. Like, it is the idea of the whodunit. To an extent, there is a bit of that. Mm. But I think you can tell fantastical stories and keep people believing in them. I mean, Game of Thrones is a fantastical story. And we're still believing in it, but it's just they've gone too far, too ridiculous. But I think you should watch it. I think you should really watch it, because I think you'll find it really interesting. It's a massive risk they took doing what they've done, and it's a huge risk. And I've never seen a show do this before, okay. So it's worth watching to see a show do something that ridiculously
risky. Has it turned into a single camera or a multi-camera comedy with a live studio audience?
All I'll say is this, it's got quite meta. It's got quite meta.
Oh,
really? Okay. I'm interested.
So it's following them making the show or something like that?
I'm not saying anymore. Right, okay.
Wow. I like it already. Good. Okay. This Is Us, Jamie. I mean, how many have you watched?
Two.
So we're still not at 4, which means we can't take anything Jamie says. As
I watched on to episode 4, by the way.
Have you? Ooh. And have you changed your mind?
I wanted to be sure. No, not at all. I am more and more entrenched. I hate this show.
Oh.
I think it is dreadful.
Where's your heart? You've got to have a leap of... You've got to have a serious sense of, you know, heart to listen to watch this show and go, look, this is what real life is kind of like, even if it's told in a slightly rose-tinted Californian
slightly
way.
Rose-tinted. The amount of shit that people do in this show, which is just like, this is the apex of what you can do for someone in this situation. Like, when people just do... It's like if you took every outlandish romantic gesture from Friends and crammed it into 10 episodes.
Yeah.
That's what this show feels like already. It's just... It's making me physically hurt.
But aren't there some central questions about what's happened to these characters that make you think that perhaps... these romantic gestures might be covering up something else?
don't give a fuck. Oh, yeah, of course, they're all damaged and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, this boy drowned because his brother nearly drowned. And then this one, oh, no, she's, you know, she's grown up obese. I don't want to minimize anyone's problems. But having them dealt with in these saccharine, smug...
All right, so let's go to Jamie. What did you think,
make
Jamie?
Make me want to fucking vomit.
Jamie.
Oh, I mean, I think that... I think Matt's been harsh,
great,
personally.
Good.
I don't think the first two are great or anything, but I think the performances are good. Mm-hmm. I think the fat boyfriend's really good.
He's great. He's very
And
he is quite good, but he gets like really him. Annoying by episode four.
No,
oh,
didn't.
Really?
No.
I actually think there's some funny bits as well. I think it's quite funny.
Yeah.
That
like, doesn't do well with comedy. Go on.
It just, yeah, my issue, I do have issues with it early on. My issues really are that I feel like it's overwritten in a way that, like, the characters always seem to come out with these really eloquent speeches.
Right, yeah, they're excellent.
That feels like I'm listening to not the character, but the writer speaking. Like, I can't hear them. It feels like any character could be making that speech from the show because it's just the writer's voice that I'm hearing.
Yeah,
and that annoys me a little bit.
You know, I articulated what I said a minute ago badly. It's like every scene is the scene in Jerry Maguire where she says, you had me at hello. And he says, you complete me. It's like every scene is that scene. There's nothing, there's no other note on this show. It's just always a heartfelt fucking warmth.
But that's,
and it's boring.
That's what this is. That's the nature of romantic comedies, is that you cut to the moments in life where people said really good things to each other. Time passes.
Constant. It's like
you're not there to watch every day.
Moments. If there's nothing else, then there's no point in watching it. It's absolutely pointless. It's like if every meal you ate was ice cream, you just want to kill yourself.
But I think that the ice cream is, for what it is and for what it's worth, this ice cream is particularly well made for what it is. That's what I think. I'm just more open-hearted. I have a wider taste than Matthew, and Jamie's, you know, a bit closer to it, but... sincerity is something that Matthew.
I do quite like the twist at the end of the first episode. I like the realization of the you know what's going on.
And I quite like the twist at the end of the first episode. What I didn't like was the start of the next episode where they kept on showing things that showed it was in the 70s, where it was like, look at how fucking clever we are. We fooled you. You didn't notice that we're in the past. Oh yeah. It was just like, oh, I hated it.
Lovely.
So much.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
I think this is something that Lauren would like, my wife, so I might actually watch it with her.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's something for
people. I know, and I'm so glad that I know this, but Hannah would absolutely hate this show.
Well, maybe she's as hardened a cynic and a critic as you are. Who knows? But you should open.
You know what? This is the fundamental difference between us, and I really do feel this. And without, you know, taking away all the hyperbole and everything, the fact that that you like this show and I like Transparent is the difference between us.
Well, I know the difference between us is I also like Transparent. Like I don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I don't.
No, you don't.
I didn't
listen
carry
back
on with
the episodes where we talked about that. You didn't like that show. How many series did you watch? Did you even make it through series one?
No, but that's not because I didn't like it.
Obviously, you loved that.
No,
I didn't realize how much you liked it.
If you go back and listen to it, you'll hear that at the time I was not willing to pay for Amazon Prime. That's why I didn't carry on with it. It's because I just did the free trial.
What's This Is Us showing on?
I'm on it
Amazon.
Now, so I could
it's
go
on
back
Amazon
to it.
Prime, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
well, I could go back to it. It's fine. I will watch.
You could, couldn't you? But I don't think you will.
I think that what you've misunderstood is that I am a lot like Jonathan Ross as a film critic, in that Jonathan Ross can enjoy the pappiest of pap and the artiest of art and be happy. Some people can't. They can't get beyond that. The things I can't get beyond.
I'm not going to have this, Howell.
Well,
Steven Seagal is one of my favourite movie stars.
Yeah, but that's just
because
that's action movies.
And he makes
different.
Utter shit.
Yeah, but that's different. That's like putting up with, you know, we all like a burger. I'm not saying it's like a burger. I'm saying that there's genuine value.
Well, I'm glad
to those
you're not
things.
Saying it's like a burger. That would be ridiculous.
People talk about taste as if, oh, you know, I can put up with pop music. I am saying there's a genuine worth to This Is Us that is different from the genuine worth of Transparent. That's what I'm saying. I can. It's okay to enjoy both. But it's fine that you don't. It's just that.
Hey, look, fine. It's fine for everyone to enjoy whatever they want. But I hated this.
Yeah, I know. I just feel sorry for you. I want you to enjoy more. Lee said on the email, it wouldn't make an interesting podcast if Matthew was more open-hearted. So,
have you ever seen the film? I'm sorry, don't want to harp on about this. We haven't even talked about Game of Thrones yet.
Go on.
But have you seen the film Untouchable?
Who's in that?
I couldn't tell you the name of the actor. It's a French film.
Yeah. They really made it, didn't they, with Kevin Hart?
They did, which is a disaster. I haven't seen it, but I know it's a disaster.
I love the Kevin Hart version. I haven't seen it. Go on.
So it's about a very wealthy quadriplegic guy who is hiring a kind of a carer. And so he lives in Paris. He's uber wealthy. And this young kind of African guy comes in and tries out for the job and is kind of obviously not at all qualified for it. But the wealthy guy sees something fun in him, and they strike up this incredible friendship. And it's a wonderful, touching, beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
But and it has moments like This Is Us in it. But it's just. It's got so much more class and so much less worthiness about it. It doesn't try so hard to be so worthy. I'm just trying to say that that's the fundamental problem I have with This Is Us. It's not that I dislike things that are happy or make you feel warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that if that's all it does, then it's pointless.
I think it's a fascinating. Well, is it though? That's my question. I don't know if that's true, that it's pointless if it just makes you feel warm and fuzzy. I think that's okay. Like, again, it's okay to just
I get what Matthew's saying in that, like, I think the warm and fuzziness in what I've watched so far just feels a little bit like. Like Matthew said, it's not earned in a respect. It's just like it's just feels like not real. Or I just feel like when those warm, fuzzy moments come, I'm hearing this perfectly worded speech, and I'm kind of going, "This is some brilliantly talented writer and a really good actor." That's what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing a character say this speech. I'm hearing this individual who's a good actor and a performer delivering a very well constructed speech, and so you don't buy it, which means that the warm fuzziness feels a bit fake and a bit candy floss, you know.
But I kind of feel,
and as I said last week, I think it is technically good for the most part. I think, and I'm some of the characters are starting to wear on me because they've just become like what Jamie's sort of saying. They're just a bit vessel-y. And everyone seems to do the right thing all the time.
Yes, and there's certainly a formula to that, which I notice, which is, you know, somebody makes a mistake and then they make that better over an episode.
Yeah.
And I'm not claiming that it's the best thing ever made at all. I think your criticisms are fair. I could certainly go down that route. And I would say now I'm watching season two, I think I would agree with those criticisms more in season two, again suffering from the stretching out thing. And I think that my problem with that, I think that's become a problem for me, because I can watch this first series and say that's okay to have a piece of work which is a vessel for really well thought out messages, even if the writer's voice is across all the characters. As long as that's delivered in a really good way and made in a really good way, I'm quite happy with that. I'm quite happy in it being a sort of handbook for life of wonderful things you could say in the right situation. And that's the world that's what it's doing for the audience, I think, is it's going, if you could make mistakes better, here's how you would be able to do that. That's the wish fulfillment that it's wrapping up, that it's restoring in our world. You know, we wish that we could put it like that, and we can't. And just in the same way that Steven Seagal can pull off moves that we can't pull off, and we know that that's ridiculous. So I can kind of take it for what it is in that sense. And that's what I quite like about it, is that I think I'm watching it as somebody going, this is really, really well written. They've cared about every step of the way with this, even if I couldn't eat a whole one every week for the rest of my life. I really, really like the way that they've put this together. That's my case.
Sorry, I just muttered it's not that well written.
I think it's time we wrote a box set and made it. I think Matt should be the writer for starters, because he definitely is not going to be the actor. That would, imagine, we'd have to then criticise him. So it would be better if he was doing something out of his comfort zone. You do the writing, I'll do the directing. Jamie can be the driver. Yeah?
Okay.
Great stuff. Good.
Should we talk about Game of Thrones?
Let's talk. I've forgotten the music.
By the way, can I just bring something up while we're getting into Game of Thrones? Yeah. Can I just say, there was a time where us three had a debate, you two against me, what's better, Walking Dead or Game of Thrones? Do you not feel like during this period of the Game of Thrones finale, you're really feeling how much better Game of Thrones is than Walking Dead?
Had to try and rub it in, didn't you, Jamie? If I recall, did we have that debate at the end of Game of Thrones Series 7 or at the beginning?
I don't know.
Because I feel like we had it before I watched Series 7.
It was when Jamie had fallen out of love with Negan, so yes, probably then.
And I'm not going to change my position, because I do think The Walking Dead is a fundamentally better show. Ooh. But I will say that Series 7 of Game of Thrones is better than anything is at least as good as anything I've seen in Walking Dead.
Wow. And my position stays the same, which I've realised now what my position is on a lot of stuff, is that, like with that one that we were just talking about, I tend to be annoying because I talk about stuff from the point of view of, like, I try and imagine that I made it. Should I be happy with what I've made, depending on what the particular audience is and what they're doing? And so my point still stands with Game of Thrones. They've had to take 2 years with one of the largest budgets of all time to make this. Therefore, it should be amazing. A Night at the Ritz should be amazing, and you should complain if your bath tap is slightly squeaky. Whereas with Walking Dead, it's a massive show, but it's a much smaller show. They've got to do a lot more with a lot less. Therefore, I think that it's almost comparing apples and pears, and that has to be taken into account.
All right, you've ruined the debate. Let's move on.
Let's move on. I've started watching the new Line of Duty. Now, I've missed out. I've watched the first couple of series. My wife watches stuff when we're recording this podcast.
Are we done with Game of Thrones now?
No, I'm getting there. My wife watches stuff when I'm here, and one of the things was a new number of series of Line of Duty. So I've just jumped back in with the new series. And there's one... there's one thing that I think about both of them, which is that I'm sorry to put this in your head, but when you're watching Game of Thrones and Line of Duty, it's very funny to imagine French and Saunders doing a parody of any scene in those things. In the Line of Duty, it's like just the constant police talk and anachronisms and stuff. In Game of Thrones, there were so many times in this episode that I loved, I'm just being childish, but I'd love the moment, but I'd also go, imagine if it was Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders climbing on the back of these dragons and going for a flight with each other. It'd be absolutely amazing. So it takes some bold steps. Oh, and the other moment that my one criticism of this episode was, you know, when he goes, Theon goes and saves the girl on the boat.
His sister, yeah.
His sister. That happens so quickly. It's like, listen, guys, we've got 8 episodes here.
Yeah, definitely.
It was literally, they banged down the door and saved her, and that was it. And that was a French and Saunders moment for me, especially when I predicted, I said she's going to punch him, and she punched him. It's like, that seemed to me like just something they were going, listen, we've got to tie some stuff up quickly. Let's get that out of the way.
I mean, this is the first of many things that I was wrong about. That John and Daenerys turned up in Winterfell within the first 30 seconds.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Episode.
I was screaming at the TV with the whole... So the big one was, one of the big debates we had last time was about when will John find out that he was banging his sister, his aunt, and Jamie's prediction on that was... in the first episode, and I said, there's no way that's going to be set up and done so quick. I was wrong. So how many points do we give to Jamie? How should we do this? Marks out of 5?
Well, Jamie gets 5.
Jamie gets 5.
Yeah, five points.
The much more interesting decision is who was more wrong out of you and me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I listened back.
While I think, obviously, you said right at the end of the series, which you would think would be about as wrong as you could get.
Well, that's wrong.
I said that
that's
it wouldn't be a big deal.
However.
That it would happen 3 or 4 episodes in.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've... it was like I didn't really fully understand the question.
So Matt was definitely more right in terms of time scale, definitely wrong in terms of would it be a big deal. It's definitely going to be a big deal. I was wrong in time scale, but I was definitely right in terms of this is going to be I'd still stand by you ended the series on something that was going to be instrumental in the next one and would cause a division between Jon and Daenerys. That was
do you
my
know,
point.
I think I was just approaching it from the totally wrong perspective. I was completely out of sync with what Game of Thrones is. And it didn't really hit me how important it would be that it's like, oh, hang on, no. Everyone really gives a fuck about bloodlines and who is the rightful king. And like, this is serious business.
And incest is a thing. That's going to, you know, there's got to be a witty comment at some point about Jamie and Cersei. Anyway.
Well, I mean, my continued horror at how willfully they are allowing people to be incestuous without any consequence.
Well, carries on. I was so glad that scene didn't involve.
That, like, I said that I didn't think there would be any reason for conflict between Jon and Daenerys, and then I was like, hang on, Jon's going to turn around to Daenerys and says, you know, you think you're the rightful queen of Westeros.
I think you were just sucked down
the knee.
You were just sucked down the rabbit hole that many people have been sucked down, which is whatever Howell says, make sure that you try and slap him with it, probably.
No,
which is understandable.
I was genuinely thinking, like, if people were reasonable, they just work it out.
I'm so glad in that scene when Sam reveals the news, as John was realising it, I'm so glad the conversation turned to him being the rightful king, and there wasn't a line where John went, I was banging my aunt.
I was really hoping there'd be like a moment where first of all he was like, oh, I'm the king, and then he goes,
I know.
That's a good point.
Like, please don't do that. Jamie, I think it's up to you to award marks out of 5 on this subject to me and Matt.
Oh, you get 5 points, do you? I mean, oh no, you don't.
Not out of 5.
You should both really get zeros. I mean, I'll give you a couple of ones, right?
Yeah, but I predicted that this would cause... My whole point was this would cause a rift. This would cause a division and mean that they go on different sides.
That hasn't actually happened yet, so you've got no support that claim yet.
Yeah, actually, Howell, that's very true. It hasn't happened yet. So
it has. Pretty much the last line was Sam saying, would she do the same?
Yeah, but how is John going to handle this?
Right.
He's still up in the air.
Okay, right. Well, I want to come back to this next week and have some retrospective points if it does cause a division.
About how is John actually going to handle this, though? And I think John is going to go, there's a bigger fish to fry. We'll deal with this shit.
Exactly. He's being very political, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes. It's like he's been with his sisters. He was saying to them, about the divisions. Forget about bending the freaking knee.
Yeah.
We've got an army of dead, and they've got a dragon. We've got to talk about Bran as well in this episode, because he was on fire.
Bran was just... It was just like somebody had left him outside by accident and they need to wheel him in. It's freezing.
You know what I love about that, though, is that's not what's happened. You know, he's the third-eyed, three-eyed raven, so he knows exactly where he needs to be. So he's constantly saying to his carer, he's pushing him around in his wheelchair, saying, just park me here and fuck off for a couple of minutes. Wait until...
Are you ready to come in yet? No, Jamie Lannister's coming in a minute.
I'm so cold.
So can you, because I'm a bit stupid, can you explain to me the look of recognition? Didn't he help Jamie Lannister once, or Jamie left him somewhere when they were up in the north or something?
Well, there's a theory that he isn't even waiting for Jamie Lannister. There's a theory that, because he says, doesn't he, in the show, I'm waiting for an old friend, and obviously Jamie Lannister then turns up, and we think,
when did
okay.
he say that? I'm waiting for an old friend.
He said it to Sam. Sam said, do you want me to pull you back inside? And he says, no, I'm waiting for an old friend.
Right, I didn't spot that at all.
Yeah, and one of the theories going around is that it isn't Jamie he was waiting for, it's there's someone else that Bran's waiting for, whoever this is, but someone else maybe that Bran's waiting for. Because you got to remember, this isn't Bran as we know him anymore. Bran probably doesn't give a shit that Jamie threw him out the window when he was back being Bran, because he's not even Bran really now.
That's yeah, true. But remind me, there was a time, because Jamie recognised him. There was a time, wasn't there, when they were... Didn't he save him and they were locked in a tower or something? And one of them saved the other.
Back when... What, Jamie
pushed
Bran
out of a window.
That was the last
God.
Time they met.
Right, that's it. That's the history. That's bad history.
Yeah.
The things I do for love.
Push. Yeah, and then boom.
Wow.
And I love that Bran's initial... greeting for Daenerys was like, oh, by the way, your dragon's dead and it's a zombie now.
Yes.
And it was just straight in there.
Yeah.
There were some really good comedy moments in this episode. I thought it was really like there were some real laugh out loud moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like bits where Bronn was with the three women in the room and the maester
comes in and cock blocks him hard.
Yeah, and says that one's going to die of the pox. And he's like, which one?
Yeah, yeah.
There's really like nice.
Yeah. I have a really annoying, I have a thing that really annoys me, and that scene is guilty of it, which is that prostitutes always have to have EastEnders Cockney accents in anything.
Hello, Governor.
Yeah.
Tuppence for your cock, yeah.
It's, it's flipping lame is or whatever, isn't it? All right, Governor. Ooh. Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. And I mean, it could be worse. It could be a northern accent, I suppose. But everyone else has got one of them. So,
Can we talk about something?
Yes.
Can we talk about the credits?
The fact that I asked you to predict how long they would be, and you said couldn't give a fuck.
Oh, no, I don't give a fuck. But,
2 minutes, by the way. I was right.
Did you time
minutes.
Them? I don't,
yes.
I, you know,
yes,
what things
did.
That we could possibly care
In
less
fact,
about.
I believe that these credits were shorter than the previous series by about 12 seconds.
Amazing.
Covering less ground.
So, did you see, like, where it focused on the map? I thought that was quite telling, because it used to go, obviously it used to go all across the world.
No, I was watching the timer.
But now it was the wall.
Yeah, with the gap in it.
And there was somewhere else right next to the wall, which I didn't quite catch the name of, but I presume that was where they killed the kid. Then Winterfell, and then it was just King's Landing, right? There was nowhere else.
No.
Well, that explains why it was shorter.
And that's quite telling. There's no Braavos in there. There's nothing in Marine. There's nothing anywhere apart from those places. Yeah. And I think that's quite telling. And also, did you notice the bits it focused on the ringy things?
No,
you know, it's got those ringy things circling around the star.
Yeah.
On there, there was bollocks. I went back and looked at it.
There was bollocks.
There was
the ringy
there was a lion eating a. Fish, I want to say.
Was this a dream?
Yeah. No. If you go look, pause it on the credits. There's like there's different animals on the rings which represent the different houses, and there's definitely like the picture of the Iron Throne. There's a lion above that.
Wow, this is a like listening to a man have a breakdown.
Why is it like that? Why are you shitting all over this?
You'll see when you listen back.
It's about symbolism.
The relevance being what? Yeah, but are you going to draw any conclusion from this symbolism?
No, or? I'm saying that there's a moment where there's I think there's a White Walker killing a lion.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ah. And the
Which
lion
I think
is
that,
the Lannisters.
That's going to have significance.
Okay. So will Cersei get got by the White Walker?
Well, or Jaime or Tyrion.
This is true. Let's check whether or not any of our other questions have come true. I don't think they have. Jon Snow banging his aunt, we've dealt with. Cersei surviving, don't know yet. Tyrion betraying us. Well, has there been any advance on Tyrion betraying us? There's not. He's made.
I don't think that's even slightly on the cards.
Well, no. It's weird because it was definitely like hinted at, but in the
I don't remember the look that you guys were talking about last week. I listened back to the show and I was like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Do you not?
Well, he was on the ship and he was sort of outside the bedroom.
Yeah.
While they were doing it, and he just looked shifty.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Or sad, because wasn't the implication that he loved Daenerys at some point?
No, I don't think it was that. I think maybe it is just he was concerned about how his sister was really going to behave.
Well,
that's
the reason I thought
trying to defend it, hasn't he?
That's what the reason I thought he had the same intel that Bran and Sam had about them. But I watched it back; it's definitely there. So that will certainly come to roost in some way. We've all said no to the answer to that question, by the way, and it just made me think, with our scoring system, if we get something wrong from now on, should we also minus
what
figures?
I was going to say before, I think that you should get minus 3 points for the when is the revelation going to come.
Yeah. And you
and I should get minus, I don't know,
five,
three or four for saying that it was going to be small potatoes.
I can deal with that.
Maybe five, I don't know.
I think minus 5 for the doubling down that you did last week on small potatoes. In fact, I think it was about quadrupling down on that phrase. But I'm willing to make it minus 4 because I enjoyed the phrase small potatoes as well.
If Jon Snow decides to bury the truth for the greater good, can I get some points back?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Hang on,
yeah.
let me work that out a sec. If he decides to bury the truth...
If he decides he's not going to talk about it to in order to get through the ship with the White Walkers...
I suppose so, yeah, why not? Because then, let's say Tyrion does betray us, but then he goes back on the betrayal, we can make points back up there. So yeah, we can track these things as we go along. Yeah.
No, I don't think that, because if he does betray us, then he's betrayed us. That's an absolute.
Yeah, but if he makes that better again, like in an episode of This Is Us, then we can, you know. Well, in which case, no, you can't. So that's that.
We're all in the same boat on that one. I'm only talking about this other one because that is actually something that could still come true, because it hasn't actually yet been big potatoes.
Let's cross the bridge when we come to it. White Walker situation, we've not met that yet. Dead or alive.
Terrifying scene for that small child, though.
Yeah,
that was good, though, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Because to be fair, this first episode was mostly admin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it was just setting the pieces up.
Church notices,
essentially.
Yeah.
And then to finish it off like that with a big kind of like, this is all going to get fucked up, yo.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just like, don't you forget it. This show will fuck you up.
Yeah,
and this episode also a lot of talk of how it mirrored the first ever Game of Thrones episode, season one, where the army arrive, Arya's in with the crowd.
Interesting.
There's a lot of mirroring.
Do you not think?
I've not pointed this at some other people online.
Do you not think that one of us deserves some points for pointing out that last week? Huh? Do you not think that I even talked about the pigsty that they stood in?
No, it's not the same.
Yeah, you were just talking about Jon Snow and Tyrion, weren't you, Howell?
Clearly in my bones, I knew we were going full circle. You know that's what I was saying. And that's...
No, you thought that...
You're clutching at straws, man.
You were
this
trying
is
to make
what
point.
It sounds like listening to someone have
Come
a
Come on, Howell, this is a desperate
Unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable. If you disagree with them...
Hold it together.
In fact, if you disagree with any of these points, email us and we'll correct them next week. Studio@theboxsetpod.com. Let's make this a democracy. Maybe not. we'll see. And nobody yet, in terms of dead or alive, we've not, I don't
Nil
think,
no, so far.
No movement there. And certainly no
did
one's
anyone,
on the
did
throne.
We talk about Ned Umber? I can't remember. We didn't, did we?
No.
He's dead now.
Who's he? Yeah. Yeah. Which one's he?
He's the kid who's nailed to the wall.
What does he do?
The kid who was nailed to the wall at the end of the episode. Come on.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Poor kid. It was a Catherine. Again. Right? That was a classic French and Saunders moment. I wanted it to be Dawn French up on that thing spinning like a Catherine wheel. That's where I thought they were going to go with it, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Did you think he was going to turn like a Catherine wheel at any point?
No.
Did anyone in the room say Catherine Wheel when you watched it?
I think a few people did, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Of all the people I watch it with.
Yeah. All right, good.
No one said that, no.
So two people said it in my house at the same time. It shows how in tune my wife and I are.
Well, once
did
again,
you both
that...
just sit there and go, Catherine Wheel!
Yes.
And a lot has been noted about the similarity of the wagon wheel of legs. And in the first episode of Game of Thrones in season one, there's that dead body.
They're all laid out on the floor, aren't they?
In the same pattern. What is this freaking pattern about? Obviously, we're going to come to
it's the
find
dead
that out,
doing it, though, isn't
what's
it?
What's interesting also... What's that?
It's the dead doing it. It's the zombies that are...
Of course. Yes, the dead are doing it.
That's
right?
Very obvious.
So they're also into kind of arts and crafts as well as killing.
Well, it would seem that way, but maybe there's a hidden meaning behind this particular image that they're sort of fascinated with.
No, I think Howell's right.
You look so deep at stuff. Oh, jeez.
It's an art attack with Neil Buchanan, Howell.
cut forward.
Next episode.
Cut backwards by 20 minutes.
Interestingly, though, this episode was 60 minutes, and the next one is going to be a good hour and a half, 90-minute proper film chunk of an episode.
I'm glad about that. That's something I said to Sarah. I was like, this is a short... I thought they were all going to be movie length, these ones. They've taken 2 years.
Already in
this.
The next episode, it's going to be that long. I thought they only got that long towards the end.
No, I think the next one's going to be a big one. That's what I've heard, but I mean, I might be wrong. But I think they are going to start to build, obviously, now that we're into the proper... Everyone's in place now, pretty much. Everyone's in the scenarios.
What else did
ready
we,
to kick off.
What else did we learn in this episode, then? So,
well, we learned that Euron has to die soon because he's such a knob.
He is just the worst, isn't he?
Please kill him.
Even got a bit of Cersei there. No length to which Cersei won't go. So he doesn't know that she's pregnant.
Did you think at the end of that scene that she was about to cry?
Yeah, she looked really quite sad, didn't she?
It was quite an interesting moment. I wish they'd kind of stuck with it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read that into her face. I thought...
She had this little moment where it was like she kept up the pretense, he left the room, and then it looked like she was about to burst into tears.
Hmm. Ah,
it was kind of horrible, but it would have been interesting for her because I have a real problem with the way she's played. I don't like Lena Headey in the role at all.
I love her, but the interesting thing there then is the whole mother of dragons is being mother of something becoming a thing. Tyrion thinks so. We think that might be affecting Tyrion in some way. Is it going to loosen up Cersei to the point that she goes, you know what? Don't even want the throne anymore.
What are you talking about?
Cersei being pregnant. That would be why she's getting
emotional.
I didn't
understand what you said just then, that sense where you said mother of dragons being mother of things, is this going to affect Tyrion? I didn't understand that.
You've now got a mother of baby going up against mother of dragons, right?
Ah.
Tyrion knows that she's pregnant, so it is becoming a thing in our plots. But is that going to soften Cersei to the degree that she's going to do something surprising or different than what we expect?
I don't know if it will do. I think it's interesting to see that she is vulnerable, like, especially now Jamie has definitely left her side. That was her last kind of real true allegiance that she could trust. All right, she's got the mountain, but he's just a dead, like a giant slab of meat, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then you've got Qyburn Morgan, who's just a bit creepy. So there's not a lot of allies that she really trusts and loves around her anymore. And I think it was just a nice moment of like, oh, she's on her own, she's pregnant, and she's having to sleep with a psychopath to get help that she needs. And so I thought it was nicely played. Interesting one, though, about Bronn. Do we think that Bronn will do it? Do you think Bronn's going to kill either Tyrion or Jaime, as he's been?
No, I can't see that.
No, it wouldn't happen, would it?
He's too. No. It's too. He spent too much good bonding time with both of them.
Yeah, but they've spent a lot of time setting him up as the purely capitalist guy who will do anything for money. That's been true of his character throughout.
So, do you want to make a prediction that Bronn is going to kill one of them, Howell?
Yes.
I don't think he will. I think a character has to have a point where they won't keep on behaving the same way, and I think he will.
Yeah, I'm saying yes. Find that point. I don't believe it. I'm kind of saying yes because I kind of don't trust the show not to. You know, I don't think the character would, but feel like there's going to be a showdown of some kind there.
I think he'll certainly get in a position where he possibly could kill one of them or either both of them. I don't know, but I think he'll probably just turn at that point. He'll go, I can't do this. This is stupid. I think he'll just turn down the opportunity. Well, maybe he'll go in that direction, but he won't actually see it through.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a hard one to call. I don't know.
It is because
I think he might get to the brink and then he won't do it. And then he'll get killed by the mountain and then Jaime will kill the mountain.
They had that conversation in the last series that was all about dicks, where he was saying, it's all about dicks, isn't it? And he is seemingly playing this character that's just all about the sex and the money, and that's it.
What was that weird groan sound?
It was a bike passing Matt's house.
Oh, it was, yeah, sorry.
No, it just sounded really ominous.
It did. It was like the beginning of Paul Weller with Broken Stones. Boom! Yeah. Like a pillow on a bitch, kicked around, displaced my feet. I can do the whole song.
I'm okay. I think I've had enough.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything. And
the one thing we haven't really covered is the only thing we haven't really covered is how we felt about this episode. Mark out of 10, Jaime.
I'd say it was fun. And it had a lot of the moments I wanted it to touch on. Are you meeting John again? That wonderful embrace. They've not seen each other since the first episode of season one. So I'm going to go with a solid 9. And it gave me the moments that I wanted to start the series.
And if you could sum up your feelings and your emotions about it in 3 words, what would those words be?
Excited to climax.
Wow. Matt, marks out of 10.
I give it a 7.
Oh. Very subtle. Yeah. And 3 words.
Euron must die.
Okay. I would give it a solid 8.5 French and Saunders out of 10.
Give yourself somewhere to go, guys. Honestly, Jaime, you've If they have the best episode in the world, you've got one more place to go. You've got nothing whatsoever here. You're like Bruno in Strictly Come Dancing. You've got nothing left
maybe
to give.
Maybe it will raise his standards to the point he's got a whole new measuring system. My 3 words would be, off we go. That's what it felt like. It was good. It moved. It was fun. And yeah, liked it. Very good. Email us your thoughts. If you disagree,
I have a question. Whatever. In which episode do you think we will see the zombie dragon?
Well,
the next one.
That's a good one. No, maybe no.
Well, they've referenced it in this one, haven't they? So we don't need to see it again yet.
No, but there was a moment where they were having their possibly a whole new world moment, where I thought maybe it'll all get spoiled because the zombie dragon will turn up and they'll be like, holy shit.
Sorry, what's the whole new world moment?
When Daenerys and Jon are flying through the clouds on the dragons.
Got you.
It made me think of Aladdin.
Of course, yeah.
I'm gonna say episode three because I think it'll be episode three. That's what I'm gonna go with.
I think it's got to be the next one.
All right.
I'm willing to wager 5 of my points on that because we haven't focused on them in the first one, and they've got to do that thing, haven't they, in series when they then focus on the other plots. In the next
I think the thing is with the next episode, there's still too much tension that they've got to get sorted. Like Jamie Lannister arriving, he's going to get shat on by everybody. I mean, Daenerys will hate him for killing her father. So there's all of that to kind of pound out.
Mm.
I just don't see the Ice Dragon coming into it next episode. There's too much other shit they've got to just. Too much drama, kitchen sink drama to get out of the way before they can get the epic.
I noticed
stuff going.
That listening back to last week's podcast.
I mean, sorry, go on, Helen.
I noticed listening to last week's podcast that if you have not watched Game of Thrones, right, and you were to listen to that podcast, it just sounds like a soap opera. We are three grown men sat here going, and it turns out she's pregnant! It's so kitchen sink in it ultimately when you get down to it. Can I just ask you a question? Why is Jaime Lannister going into Winterfell in disguise?
Well, he's
because they're
popular.
Not best fond of him, yeah.
But they are. They have agreed that they're under the impression that the Lannister army is coming to help, right?
Well, Jon and Daenerys are, but the rest of the North are probably going to see Jaime Lannister and want to string him up hard and fast.
Okay.
He orchestrated. A lot of deaths. He orchestrated. He was a big part of the Red Wedding that happening. Mm. So a lot of the people who were killed during that, and he smashed a lot of the Northern armies. And then, of course, he was a big part of the Kingslayer. He's known as man who betrays people. He's a very unpopular man in the North.
Okay. Matt was going to say something before when I interrupted. Can you remember what it was?
I was going to say, I mean, I'm sort of regretting thinking it now, but I think we'll see the zombie dragon, because the Night King and all his dudes can't be far from Winterfell now.
Right.
They've killed the Umber Boy, who managed to get from That's Winterfell true. To his place and die in the space of an episode.
Yeah.
That is true, isn't it? They are so, between, yeah. That is
so I reckon the Night King and his dudes are going to turn up on the outskirts of Winterfell at the end of the next episode, and then episode 3 is going to be one big ass motherfucking battle.
And by the way, if we were talking as a soap opera, here's what would happen now. Jon would stick with whatever her name, Daenerys. What's her name? Daenerys. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jon would stick with Daenerys, and he would fall out with his best mate Sam because she's killed his family. Sam's annoyed. Sam hates her. And he would ignore his best friend for a while until he has to listen to him. That's what would happen in the soap opera.
Highs before bros, you think?
Yes.
Why does Sam hate her so much? I don't think...
Because she killed his family.
It's a bit much for him to be angry at her for, you know, the spoils of war, really.
Well, if the person who murdered your parents is standing in front of you and they're the one who tells you...
They didn't know that they were your parents.
Well, that's why he said thanks for telling me.
Sam's argument is that, you know, he says, John, you would have made them prisoners of war.
Yeah.
And she didn't she? She made them kneel or die.
Exactly. And that has been the point about... That's what I was trying to say last week about her, is that throughout her story, the question about how to rule has always been about how hard do you rule, and that's where Cersei rules hard. She's fallen into that trap a lot, where the question has been, have you made new slaves while trying to save old slaves? That's where I still hope that Jon wins the throne over her. I'm with Sam. First time he's not annoyed the hell out of me, that character. She's good. Anyway,
let's
see what happens. Thank you. Email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. As you've witnessed, it makes our day, and we like reading your emails out, so let's go. Onwards. Thank you, Matthew.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Jamie.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening. Like pebbles on a beach, kicked around, displaced by feet.
All right, next week.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.